morning, I thought, now I can do that. And I sat down and I worked on my own simple prayer, five statements that we can remember that inspire deeper conversations with the Lord. Today I'm going to be wrapping up this simple prayer series, and I want to make sure that we all know exactly what it is we're doing when we pray our simple prayer. And what I would say is simply this. When you pray a simple prayer, I'm not saying you take these five statements, you memorize them, and you say them, and that'll be all the prayer that you're going to need. What I'm saying is this. Simple prayer and the statements of simple prayer are kind of like starter bread. Now, some of you are bread makers. I am not. But I know this, if you're going to make some sourdough bread, you have that starter recipe that begins the fermentation process that allows a fresh loaf to grow. And for what I do know from those of you who are bread makers is, and that becomes something very precious to you. And you don't let anything happen to it. And you hang on to that starter bread because you're going to need it to continue to inspire new loaves of bread. Now, if I've gotten that wrong, you can talk to me after church. But I do know that's exactly what we need to do with simple prayer. When you take the phrases of simple prayer, you take that phrase and you allow it to be the starter prayer on that particular topic that you need to spend time talking to the Lord about. So it's an inspiring kind of thing to think, okay, I can walk through this, and as I do, and as I elaborate on each of these statements, I can talk to God in a powerful and practical way. So let me remind you about the first four statements of simple prayer. The first one is Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, because you are God of heaven and earth, because you are the creator of everything, because you said those four words, let there be light, and everything that exists came from that one statement. And you are the God of the vastness of the universe, not only just everybody who walks on this planet, but every planet that exists in the galaxy and every galaxy that exists in the universe, and it all came from you. And yet you let me call you Father. You invite me in the midst of all of this vast creation to talk to you as your child. And you know who I am. And you know what's going on in my life. You are my Father. The second phrase is simply this. I trust you. Heavenly Father, I trust you. I personally come to you with the things that are going on in my life, with the challenges that are facing me, with the obstacles that come my way, with the opportunities I have choices to make about, with the blessings that come, and with the hardships that I deal with. Lord, I come and I bring it all to you because I trust you, and I know this. If I bring it to you and I talk to you about it, you're going to respond. You're not going to stand back and be idle. You are going to come and act in my life. And Lord, I know that's true. I trust you. And then there's that third statement. You remember that? Lord, they need your help. I want to pray for other people because my prayers are never just prayers for me and mine. I need to pray for other people. I need to pray for people that are close to me, and especially when I know that they're going through some special challenges. Maybe they're hurting. Maybe they're hurting physically. Maybe they're hurting emotionally. Maybe they're struggling spiritually. But Lord, I know this. I don't want them to be alone, so I want to pray for them. I want to lift them up because, Lord, they need your help. And here's the astounding thing, and we can also say the same thing for people that we have never met and maybe we'll never know this side of heaven. But we know what's going on in their lives, and so we pray to them. Lord, pray for them. Lord, they need your help. And then there's that fourth phrase. Thank you. Father, I want to make sure that when I pray, I don't stop until I have said thank you for the things you've done. Because the truth is, Father, too many times I'm inclined to forget once you've blessed me. You remember we looked at the story of the 10 lepers and only one who came back to say thank you, and realized too many times I may be on the wrong side of that story. Lord, I don't want to stop without saying thank you. Thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you for what you've done for my family. Thank you for the prayers that you've answered. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for all of the ways that I can look around myself in this world and discover your hand is at work. Now this morning, as we come to the conclusion, we're going to talk about the final, maybe the most important phrase in simple prayer. And it is this: in Jesus' name. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. And almost all of us, if we've been believers for very long, that's usually how you would conclude your prayer. When you talk to the Lord and you bring needs before Him and you pray for others and you thank Him for what He's done, when you come to the end of the prayer, you pray in Jesus' name. But understand something, we need to be really careful in simple prayer that we don't just think, okay, as long as I use that phrase, that means God's got to do what I've asked Him to do, because after all, I've used that magical phrase in Jesus' name. Because there is nothing magical about those three words. If you don't use them at the end of the prayer, it doesn't mean God won't respond. But both the Gospels and the Epistles in the New Testament tell us that praying in Jesus' name is a priority in every believer's life. But here's the thing. When the Bible commands us, teaches us to pray in Jesus' name, it's not so much about the words you use as it is about the attitude of your heart when you pray. Whether or not I use those words is not nearly as important as the fact that I come to the Lord in Jesus' name, because He is my Savior, because I trust Him as my Lord, because I try to live to please Him. And when I come to you, I come because you loved me enough that you sent your Son, and He lived and He died and He rose again and He's coming back for me. I pray in Jesus' name. Every time we use that phrase, we remember this. So you're not praying to some vague, impersonal God that's out there sometime. You know, the kind of person that when people say, well, yeah, I believe there's something out there, somebody, some sort of something. No. When we pray as believers, we pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He and He alone is worthy of our praise. So we pray in Jesus' name. When we pray in Jesus' name, it also means you're not praying, so God give me what I want. Instead, you're saying, Lord, I'll depend on you. I'll trust you. I'll follow you. I'll do what you want me to do. In Jesus' name. So this morning, I want to take some time and I want to talk about what happens when you pray in Jesus' name, because there's some specific things you're asking the Lord to give you when you pray in His name. And I want to begin by simply saying this: when you pray in Jesus' name, you are asking for a Christ-centered faith. When you pray in Jesus' name, you are settling who is truly in charge where your life is concerned. Because when you pray, you pray. Now, sometimes we pray together. I could invite you this morning to stand with me and let's all say the Lord's Prayer and we could do it together. But the truth is, most of the time when you pray, you pray. It's about your relationship with your Lord, who is your Heavenly Father, who cares about you, and you are saying to Him, by praying in Jesus' name, because I want you to be my Savior, my Lord, my leader. Nothing is more important in the life of a believer than knowing you are praying from a position of trust. God, I'm talking to you because I believe you hear me. I believe when you hear me, you respond. I believe I can trust you and you'll take care of me. I pray in Jesus' name. If you don't do that, then your prayers will become self-centered. And you'll begin to pray something like this: Lord, give me what I want, the way I want it, at the time I choose to receive it. It's all about what I'm claiming, not about what you are blessing me with. It's as though you give the orders, and the Lord does whatever it is you command Him to do. Kind of like rubbing on a lamp, except you think you're handling the Lord. Unless you pray in Jesus' name. Because that settles it. A Christ-centered faith believes that everything begins and ends with Jesus. And if it does not, then you may think you're praying, but you're not praying at all. It begins and it ends with Jesus. He's the one who inspires you as you pray. He's the one who works through your prayers. He's the one that guides you as you pray. He's the one you are seeking to please. And He is the one you believe everything comes to pass through His mercy. This is the way 1 Corinthians describes it. He says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Did you see that? Washed, sanctified, justified in the name of Jesus. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're praying from a deep awareness of how your life has been changed by Christ. I am praying to you in Jesus' name because I can tell you right now, I remember who I was before I knew Jesus. I remember how He saved me. I remember how He changed me. And I remember how He's walking with me every day. And that's the way I want to live. I want to live out of a Christ-centered faith. It's an affirmation that your confidence in prayer arises from your faith and how much He cares for you and how much you trust Him. So I come to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Give me a Christ-centered faith. I don't want a generic faith. I don't want a general faith. I want a Christ-centered faith. Then the Bible tells us this. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're asking to have a Christ-dependent walk. Simple prayer is always dynamic prayer. It is always an act of active trust, active belief, active expectation. You trust Christ to act, to guide you, to strengthen you, to give you wisdom, to meet your needs, to show you what you cannot see apart from Him. And then you act with confidence that He has heard and answered your prayer. Because praying is not about just praying and then sitting back and doing nothing. If your prayers are passive prayers, well, you just kind of say, well, I know God wants to hear from me, so I say, dear God, here I am. There you are. Amen. That doesn't work. Simple prayer is all about thinking, God, if I bring this to you, then I can anticipate you're going to do something. You're going to meet my prayers. You're going to be there at my point of need. You're going to be at work in my life. I trust you. The third and fourth chapters of Acts describe what happened when Peter and John were entering a temple one day. You remember the story? They encountered a man who had been crippled from birth. He was sitting outside the beautiful gate. And as people walked into the temple to worship, he would sit there watching as pilgrims would come in from out of town, as people would bring their sacrifices to the Lord. And he would ask for a little bit of money. It was all he could do. He'd been crippled his whole life. There was no other way to survive. And as Peter and John began to pass by him, he asked them to give him a few alms. He had no idea what God was about to do. The Bible says Peter looked straight into his eyes and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I love what happened next. It's my favorite part of the story. Because Peter looked at this man crippled from birth, never once having stood independently. And he said to him, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And this is the great part. And then it doesn't say, so Peter stood back to see what was going to happen next. You remember what it says? It says he reached down and he grabbed the man by the wrist and he jerked him to his feet. If God didn't come through, what a disgrace. If God didn't come through, this man's going to collapse back to the floor. Everybody around him is going to say, "What in the world is that man doing? Look how he's treating that poor cripple." But that's not what happened. The Bible says instantly the man's feet were made well. And that's not all that happened. Instead, the Bible says this: so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Here's what I want you to understand about what was taking place at that very instant. That man had spent a lifetime sitting outside the gate to the temple, begging for money from people who were coming in to worship. Not once in his life had he ever been aware of what the inside of that temple looked like. He'd never been there. You see, people assumed the very fact that he was physically challenged meant that sin had entered the equation somehow. And people with infirmities were considered to be unclean and unwelcome in the temple. Think about it. So all of his life, he'd watched people go in. And all of his life, he'd heard the sounds coming from inside the temple. But never once had he been allowed to go in until that very instant when God acted according to Peter's prayer. And in the name of Jesus, he was made whole. No wonder the Bible says he went in walking and leaping and praising God. So would you. But it also created a great commotion, and people began to gather around. And before long, the apostles found themselves arrested and carried to stand before the Sanhedrin because something wrong is going on here. They were asked a compelling question: by what power or what name have you done this? And their response was even more compelling: by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Did you see what happened at the very beginning of this miracle and then at the end again? Peter and John acted in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In healing a broken life and in confronting their adversaries, Peter and John were depending upon Christ to show them what to say and do. Because when you pray in Jesus' name, you are declaring you are living a Christ-dependent life. I will trust Him to do what He chooses to do. Simple prayer in Jesus' name means praying with a constant reliance upon Jesus to do through you what only Jesus can do. It's recognizing that the power of prayer is not in you. It is through Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that's true? Aren't you glad that if the time ever came when you were desperately ill in a hospital bed, I wouldn't show up in your room dressed in some kind of exotic garb? Maybe incense filling the air, maybe chants being said that you didn't understand, with this idea that because I am a holy man, I am bringing in the power of God to this place, and I will heal you. If that happened, what do you think you would be doing? I have a feeling you'd be getting out of that bed and moving out into the hall. Let me get away from this man. But you know what? If you're in that situation and desperately needy, and I come into your room, I'm going to stop and talk and pray in Jesus' name that God will act and bless you. Because there's nothing in me and there's nothing in you. It's all in Christ. You can depend upon Him to do what is right. When you're struggling with difficulties and tragedies, when you're having to struggle with really hard news, you ask the Lord to meet you where you are and depend upon Him to meet you where you need Him the most. And even on those days when nothing unusual is going on, you pray in Jesus' name because you're still depending on Him to bless you, to guide you, to show you the way. And when you pray in Jesus' name, you're also asking for a Christ-empowered life. It means every time you come to the end of a prayer, you're reminding yourself and confessing to Him, I can't do this without You, Lord. Colossians 3:17 declares, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Here's what every Christian needs to remember, okay? You never pray for power. You never pray, God, give me the power to face what is in front of me. Give me the power to know the answers, to meet the needs, to be there for others. You never pray for power. Instead, you pray to be empowered. Now, what's the difference? To pray for power is to believe you have something in yourself that will allow you to overcome. To pray to be empowered means understanding that the source is always beyond yourself. When you pray in Jesus' name, what you're saying is, Lord, I know I can't do it. I'll never be able to do it. Nobody around me can do it. The only one who can do it is You. So, Lord, I am praying to be empowered so that Your power can flow through me in my prayers and into the lives of those I'm praying for. So Your power can flow through me and into the situations that I am facing. And Lord, help me to understand that there will never come a day in my life when I can independently live a godly life. I got to be empowered. And I constantly need Your presence. Don't depend upon yourself. Depend upon the Lord. And that's why you can pray a simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I trust You. They need Your touch. Thank You. In Jesus' name, I turn everything over to you. And always remember this. Simple prayer is simple. But simple prayer is life-changing when you bring everything under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's why you pray in Jesus' name. Now, the most important prayer you can pray in Jesus' name is a prayer of salvation. It is a prayer that says, Lord, I've tried to do this by myself and I have miserably failed. And I know that sin has a hold of me and I can't break its grip. And I know that every time I look around, I realize I am not who I ought to be. But Lord, I also know this. Lord Jesus, you can change everything about me. Your mercy can wipe away my sin. Your forgiveness can take it so far away from me, I will never encounter it again. Your grace can grant me salvation in Jesus' name. So I pray, save me, change me in Jesus' name. And maybe you're here today and you're not a believer, and that's exactly the prayer that you need to pray. And it's simple and it's to the point, and it can change everything. If you're here today and you need to pray that prayer, in a minute we're going to stand and sing an invitation hymn. And if you'll come here to me, I'll be glad to help you with that simple prayer. And God will change eternity. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing that God's calling you to be part of this fellowship. He wants you to plant your membership in this church so that you can serve Him through this fellowship, because that's what He's calling you to do. And you can come, and I'll be glad to welcome you into the best church family you'll ever find. Or maybe there's something else, and you know exactly what it is. I don't have to tell you, but you need to come and maybe make a rededication. Maybe say, pray for me. Maybe there's something you need to bring up. I'll be glad if you would come. So let's stand together. Let's sing our invitation hymn. As God speaks, you come. It's been a good day in God's house. I'm glad we got to share this time together. Look forward to seeing you this evening. We'll be downstairs in the fellowship hall continuing on as we move on toward the conclusion of Romans. But that doesn't mean you can't say, well, I haven't heard any of it, so I need to not come now. every week works just for itself. So I look forward to seeing you there. And then, as Sam said a little while ago, there's a parents' meeting in 152. So you parents, if you would remember that meeting with Sam and Amanda, that'll be a special time. Let's bow together for a closing prayer and then one final song. Father, we do thank you that we come to pray in Jesus' name because we belong to him, because he is our Savior, because, Father, we are helpless apart from him, because we need his guidance and his wisdom, and we need his power and his touch. So, Lord, today we come in Jesus' name, lifting ourselves to you, and we pray, amen.